Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40. And if you're able to, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this important subject that we're going to begin tonight. And I ask, Lord, as I teach it, Lord, that you give me clarity of mind, and Lord, help me to be understood, easily understood. And so, Lord, we want to go to the scriptures, we want to learn. Jesus, thank you that you came, yes, to die for us, but you also came to live in such a way that we could learn how we should live. And so, Lord, I ask that you continue to help our parents, dear God. Help those of us that are no longer parenting children in our home, but Lord, we can assist in helping and encouraging and being a blessing. And so, Lord, thank you for this time to teach. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. And I want you to compare verse number 40 with verse number 52. From verse number 40, the Bible's talking about Jesus during those years when he is in his an adolescent, when he's still a child, he's still growing. This is prior to the story of him being a 12-year-old child. And so it's summarized by saying the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Now notice the phrase connected with wisdom here, filled with wisdom. Now if you will, look at verse number 52. The Bible says from 12 years of age and older, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. My book on the teenage years of Jesus Christ, I tell teenagers that the number one priority of their teenage years is the pursuit of wisdom. From 12 years of age and older, there'll still be people that are teaching you wisdom and imparting to you wisdom, but the responsibility of gaining wisdom shifts over onto your shoulders in the way that you receive the instruction and also in your own personal pursuit of studying the Word of God and seeking it out for yourself. Hey, you're becoming a young man and a young lady, and guess what? Part of the responsibility of that is we shouldn't have to spoon feed every little thing that goes into you. There ought to be a point in time where you're seeking wisdom, and you're studying, and you're looking, and you're gaining, and you're increasing. Now think about that and compare it, parents, to the phrase there in verse number 40 where the Bible says he was filled with wisdom. And so I think that that Mary and Joseph had a great deal to do with this. I want to remind those who may not have heard last week's explanation that Jesus Christ, even though he was the Son of God, and folks, he came down here and was 100% God. But he chose to accept certain limitations while he was growing. And so I think that with this idea of being filled with wisdom talks about kind of somebody else filling him up. And then from 12 years old and more, they take what has been given them. They begin to build on that personally. You young people, let me congratulate you. A lot of our teenagers have shared with me that they've bought into this and they've gotten into a Bible reading program, and they have a plan to read through the Bible in the next year. And that's great. You know what you're showing? Listen, you're showing Christian maturity. You're realizing that it's just not mom and dad's job to build me spiritually. It's just not mom and dad's job to force feed me the Bible or drag me to church and make me set through. Come on, all of a sudden you're getting a hunger for it. You're getting an excitement for it. You're increasing in wisdom, and so that's good. But as we have our children, they are going to need assistance and much more assistance. And how wise your children are by the time they are 12 years of age falls mostly, parents, on your shoulders. It's your responsibility to guide in this manner. So I want to teach on that tonight. We're going to begin, probably take 2 weeks, on godly wisdom and this matter of increasing being filled with wisdom. Waxed strong in spirit. Remember that process? A little bit at a time. Keep dipping that string in the wax. That's what it is. That's what child rearing is. Increasing in wisdom. I'm sorry, being filled with wisdom means slowly, steadily, as our young people are able to absorb, giving them wisdom, teaching them wisdom, pointing them to the Word of God. And so we're going to look at that. How do you rear wise children? What do we do to see to it that by the age of 12, our children here are filled with as much wisdom as their maturity level will allow? Well, we're going to use again tonight the biblical parental ladder and kind of walk through this. I'll go through about halfway up the ladder this week, and then we'll have to pause and hang on to the ladder for a week, and then we'll go the rest of the way up, Lord willing, next Sunday night. So let's take step number one. First of all, proper evaluation. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. And so the first thing we have to do as parents is we have to properly and accurately, watch this, we have to properly and accurately evaluate our children in this matter of wisdom. Now let's start when they're born. When you receive that child into your home, when God blesses us with a baby, then we have to understand something about that child when it comes to wisdom. I'm going to be saying three words, and I moved the flowers for a reason, because I'm going to be taping these words in a minute up here so that you'll see them and they'll be before you. But when we talk about this matter of wisdom, folks, there's three options when we talk about wisdom. Somebody can be simple, or somebody can be wise, or somebody can be foolish. Now, your children are not born wise. Okay, so their tank is on zero. Okay, they're on empty. They are born, now here's the challenge, they are born simple. And that's to be expected, okay? In other words, that idea of being simple, let's talk about being unpleaded. It's kind of like a blank piece of paper, okay? They haven't been taught. They don't know anything. And so they're simple. And by the way, it's okay that they're born simple, that they come to us in that state. Hey, if they're born into the right kind of a home, that's a great advantage, you know, because we don't have to undo a lot of things before we have to teach some things. And so you have a great opportunity to take that child's simplicity, and we'll talk about this, because when we get into next week, what do you do to make sure that your children at 12 years of age still aren't simple? What do you do to make sure, heaven forbid, that by 12 years of age they haven't already chosen the path of foolishness? What do we do to encourage them and heighten their awareness of the importance of seeking and pursuing wisdom? Well, remember this, every child is born simple. Wisdom does not come readily installed in them. They come untaught. They come untrained. It's up to the child's parents to replace a child's simplicity with godly wisdom. We'll talk about that a bit tonight and more next week. And here's the other thing. Not only is every child born simple, but every child is born foolish. What does that mean? That means that they have a built-in sin nature. Okay? They have a fallen nature. You will not, parents, have to teach them to misbehave. You will not have to teach them to disobey. They already know how. You know why? Because they have a tendency to foolishness. So they're born simple, and they have a tendency to foolishness. Look right up here, because I need to help some of you. Yes, your child. Your child, okay? I've got to get some moms and dads to stop making excuses for kids and start facing what the Word of God says and how it lines it out, because making excuses for their increased foolishness is not going to produce a wise child at 12 years of age, okay? So they've got a built-in sin nature. And again, folks, this comes with the child. The Bible says this, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So foolishness comes as part of the original package. Now it's important to understand what you're up against, okay? If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a ladder, if you don't have something to get your children from where they are to where they ought to be by 12 years of age, chances are they will just be simple and foolish when they're 12 years of age. A child left to himself, Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Think about this. Isn't that sad when you think about how many children are basically raising themselves in this day and age? You know what the Bible says? That's a formula for disaster. It's not your job as a parent just to, you know, park them in front of the TV, or every time they're fussing or misbehaving, hand them your cell phone. I mean that. We've got to think about what we're doing, because that might seem like it's a temporary fix to your immediate problems, but it could be that you're just postponing the inevitable bigger problem that you're going to have to face later on. And so every child is born simple, every child is born foolish, so that defines your job. Your job as parents is to eliminate your child's simplicity and foolishness and replace these things with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And you're not going to get the job all done by 12 years of age, but by 12 years of age, it'll be well on its way to getting done. And you need to position them in a good place going into their teenage years so that they'll be able then to begin to increase, watch this, what's already been put in them. So that is a breakdown of what we're looking at. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about the simple, and let's talk about the wise, and let's talk about the foolish. Let me have you go to Matthew chapter number 7, if you will. Matthew chapter number 7. We'll start out, first of all, by talking about this matter of simplicity. Simplicity. I'll put that word over here, simple. What is simplicity? What does that mean? How do we cure this? And how does that relate as far as when we're talking about this matter of wisdom? If you over in Matthew chapter number 7, if you look in verse number 24, we see two wonderful verses here. I'm sorry, several verses here that will help us in defining what wisdom is and comparing it to what foolishness is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, okay, listen, heareth these sayings of mine. We're going to get into that when we go on talking about the other attributes, teaching a young person to listen, teaching them to hear. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, watch this, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. By the way, why is this important? Because the rain's going to descend, folks. The floods are going to come. Hey, the winds are going to blow, and they're going to beat upon that house. And you know what? If you build your life on the foundation of wisdom, then you're building it upon a rock. And so this is important because, folks, this is their future. This is how their teenage years are going to go. This is how their young adult years are going to go. This is going to be whether or not they end up at 25, 30, 35 as a disaster or as a success in the eyes of Almighty God. And so where is it? Watch this. Very simple. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Very simple. So a wise young person hears the word of God, the sayings of mine, the Bible principles, not only hears them, but then says, I'm going to do that. Hey, God said that. That came from the words of Jesus Christ. That came from the Holy Scriptures. And if God says that that's what I'm supposed to do, then you know what? I'm going to do it. And young people, let me say this. We already have a lot of young people that have bought into that mentality very simply and just said, hey, I believe the Bible. I'm going to trust mom and dad. They teach me the word of God, and I learn that something from the Bible is wrong, then I'm not going to do that. If I'm supposed to be doing something from the Bible, then I'm going to do that. And you know what? You don't fight against it. You don't wrestle against it. You don't fuss about it. And boy, if you can get that early on in your child's heart, boy, what a blessing that is. And young people, let me say this, the children that just have that desire to want to please the Lord and want to obey the Bible and want to do the right thing, you're on a great path towards wisdom. You get into your young woman years, teenage years, you're going to accelerate. You get into your young adult years, you're going to make good decisions and right decisions, and you're going to be in a good place. And so that is the wise person. And then we have in verse number 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Now, wait a minute. What's the difference between the foolish man and the wise man? The Bible says there's some similarities. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. Now, let me just say this. They are both somewhere where they can hear the words of the Lord, the sayings of Jesus Christ. They are hearing these things. Well, what about this, preacher? I see the foolish man. I see the simple man. Well, there's somebody that's not mentioned this story, but it's mentioned many, multiple times in the book of Proverbs, and that is the simple person. Simple person's not in a position or a place where they can hear the words of the Lord. Think about that. Now watch this. There are children being raised all over this community that are never taken to church, never hear a Bible verse, Never go to Sunday school. Never go to Wednesday night Bible club. Don't have a parents that own a Bible, care about the Bible. Matter of fact, many are being raised in homes that are setting them up to have a foolish attitude towards the Word of God. And so the simple person is the untaught, unlearned person. And by the way, the reason I mentioned that is we may sign up a brand new kid. And at fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, we get high school, a brand new young man's come the last few weeks. A high school kid, I got a chance to talk to him a little bit, get to know him a little bit. Hardly any church background. I mean, brother, listen, I'm not saying that the kid's not smart when it comes to math. I'm not saying he's not smart when it comes to English. I'm not saying he could be incredibly gifted as an auto mechanic. I don't know those things. When we say simple, we're not talking about intelligence. We're talking about whether or not they have been taught the principles and precepts of the Bible. So, Brother Levi, you may go in there to your class and you may have sitting in your class a simple young man. He might be 17, but he might be simple. You know, Jerry Ross walked in as a five-year-old into church when it came to the things of the Lord, completely simple when it comes to the things of the Lord. Other kids that have spent the first 5 years at least had a foundation. You know, they had primary church and they had Sunday school, and for 5 years they were at least sitting in church, around church, no doubt hearing things at home. And so they were ahead of me because I came in simple. And again, we're talking about whether or not they have heard, been in a position to hear the Word of God. And then you have the wise young man. And the wise young man not only is blessed to be in a place. By the way, young people, I hope you understand how blessed you are. I mean that. I hope you understand how blessed you are that God allowed you to be born into a family where your mom and dad are Christians, or grandma and grandpa's Christians, and they're bringing you to church. And you know what? You were in the nursery, and you were in the 2 and 3 year old class, and you were in the 4 and 5 year old class, and you were in the kindergarten class, or you're in there now, and you're coming up through the ranks. And you've heard the Bible stories, and you listen to the sermons, and you get to go to Bible club. Listen, you have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. Now, wait a minute. What is your attitude towards the Bible? What is your attitude towards the Bible? We're talking about proper evaluation here. Parents, you have to begin to watch your children. Because, listen to me, if the Bible tells them to do something, then you know what? They ought to want to do it. They ought to be willing to do it. They ought to have a good spirit about doing it. You know what? Learning the simple act of cheerful obedience is so important in raising our children. By the way, mom and dad, if they won't listen to what you're telling them to do, tell me that later on they're going to listen to what God's going to tell them to do. So just training our children to cheerfully obey, immediately obey, you know, without delay. And to do it with a good and proper spirit, if they have that, if you raise them so that they do that with what you are telling them to do, that is easily transferred to what God is telling them to do. Now, young person, listen to me. Every single time your mom or dad look at you and tell you to do something, your reaction is either telling you whether or not you are on the path of wisdom or on the path of foolishness. Okay? If you're fussing with your mom and dad, come on. Delaying in obedience, waiting until they're not looking and then outright just disobey, then excuse me, but you are choosing a path of foolishness. Now watch this. That brings us to the third. The only difference between this person here and the wise person, this one does not go to church. Watch this. This one goes to church and this one goes to church. This one goes to Sunday school and this one goes to Sunday school. This one can have saved parents and this one can have saved parents. I mean, you know what? Well, if you knew the house I live, you know my mom and dad pastor, if you really knew, wait a minute, I've watched in the same household have a kid that just has a sweet and obedient spirit about them and have a kid that's just got a rebellious, whoops, sweet. I got to get this right, hadn't I? Remember, it has a sweet, obedient spirit about them. And when mom and dad ask to do something, it's yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. And they go and they do it. They do it to the best of their ability. And, And you know what? If mom and dad don't have to fight with them and fuss with them and all of that, oh, you're so wise. Let me say it again. You're so wise. Young person, you're so wise. And yet we could have in the same home another child that just, you know what? I mean, they're almost determined. They lay awake nights planning how not to have to do what mom and dad says. You know what? If they pull one over on mom and dad, they think they are wise and they're fools. Now, what is wrong with us? You know what's wrong with us? We all got a sin nature. But the honest truth is, you know what? Come on. It only takes one decision. You preacher, that's how I am. No, that's how you choose to be. That's how you choose to be. And starting right now, at the end of this message, you could walk up to an altar and you could say, you know what, Lord, I've been foolish. I may only be 8, but I've been foolish. I may be only be 6, but I've been foolish. I may be 15 or 18, but I've been foolish. And Lord, you know what? Starting tomorrow, my mom and dad is not ever going to have to fight with me again, fuss with me again. If they ask me to do something, I'm just going to say, yes, ma'am. I'm going to do it with a sweet spirit, good spirit. And you know what, Lord? If I can have the right relationship with them, then one of these days I'll have the right relationship with you. And so, you know what, Lord? You say, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. That's good enough for me. That's what the Word of God says. I'm going to do it. And you just choose the path of wisdom. Preacher, it's not always easy. The Bible doesn't say do it if it's easy. It says to do it. Okay? Well, I don't always feel like it. Well, are you going to run your life on feelings? Or are you going to run your life on the principles of God's Word? And so here's the three options. Oh, watch this. Nobody. I mean, you know what? They can leave here and say a lot of things about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but there's no young person that's going to be raised, come on, 18 years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and be able to say I was turned off in the loose into the world simple. No, they were not. No, they were not. No, they were not. They live a life, some of them leave, live a life of utter disobedience and foolishness, all that. And then their life gets to be a wreck. And if you ask them where they went wrong, well, my problem was I was raised in church. No, your problem was you didn't listen to what we tried to teach you in church. All the stupid stuff you're doing, I'm sure there was a Sunday school lesson on not doing that. I'm sure there was a sermon by either Bob Ross or Jerry Ross on not doing that. You know, it's crazy to me. You go out, ignore the teachings of the church that gave you gold, and then want to blame the church because you've messed your life up. Excuse me. You know what the problem is? Right here. It wasn't that you weren't taught. It wasn't that you weren't told. It's that you just had a stubbornness about you, rebellion about you. Didn't want to be told. Didn't want to have to do. Just buying time. You know what? Watch this. I'm sitting right here for a minute for a reason. I'm lingering here for a reason. You know what? For 18 years, you can just get along to go along. You know what that, get along to go along. You know what that is? Well, I'll just do enough that I don't get in too much trouble and just buy my time. I'll just get along to go along. But I'm telling you what, in my mind, there's going to be a day where I'm going to walk away and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You're right here. You're right here. And by the way, everyone's going to have to choose one of these days. You can choose what you do, but you don't get to choose the consequences. You can choose whatever foundation you want to lay. But you know what? The storm's coming. And what you build on is going to determine whether or not your life survives the storms that are waiting. Because young people, please listen to this old preacher. You know what? You get out into this real world and life gets real. And all your little Pollyannish, silly foolishness and all the things you think you're going to do and all the things you shoot your mouth off about what you're going to, you know what? You won't take the next breath if God doesn't say you can. And God pulls the strings and he determines what a person can and can't do and whether or not they succeed or fail and what comes in their life and what doesn't. And I want to just share something with you. Please hear me. Okay? Life's hard enough. Even for those of us that are doing the best we can to do right, there's enough heartaches and trials that come into every life. Why in the world would you want to live in such a way where God has to resist you on a regular basis? That's a no-win proposition. And I've watched young people, by the way, I'm going to just be really transparent. I was one of those young people that just went through a time during my teenage years where I just fussed against authority and pushed back and didn't want to do and was mad at everybody. And you know, it was everybody's fault but mine, but the honest truth is, until the prodigal, whether you're physically a prodigal or prodigal in your heart, until you come to yourself, you're never going to get it fixed. The honest truth is, the problem wasn't Bob and Donna Ross, the problem wasn't Jack and Penny Gordon, the problem wasn't my Sunday school teachers, the problem wasn't the Christian school teacher, wasn't Bob Neal that was or Bill Neal was the problem. You know what the problem was? My wicked heart. And you know, it's interesting. The Lord broke that spirit in me by listening to the Word of God and by allowing me just on, I could take you back to the day where God spoke to my heart. Why have these youth rallies, preacher? Why cart these kids off to this conference and that conference? Because it was at one of those conferences where the preaching of the Word of God broke my rebellious spirit. And you know what? I went to an altar and I got some things right. I went home and made some things right. And you know, all I did was just change the way I thought about my parents and about the authorities God put in my life. And you know what? You have to understand at some point, boy, that's a real growing up time when you do, is those people aren't put in your life to make your life miserable. They're put into your life to keep you from living a miserable life later. One of those, and you know what? Just change your spirit. What do you mean? Just change. I mean, just change your spirit. I mean, just start saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Just say, well, is there anything I can do, Mom? Is there anything I can do, Dad? Mom and Dad rebuke you. Thank you for rebuking me. I know you love me. I'll do better in that area. Come on. Is that really that hard? It's not. Honestly, it's pretty simple. But you have to decide whether or not you're going to do that. And so we see the simple, we see the wise, and we see the foolish. Now, a simple child is ignorant of Bible commands and principles. They just don't know. A foolish child, when taught Bible commands and principles, may choose to ignore them or directly disobey them. They can't say they don't know. They can't say they didn't hear. They just chose to ignore. But aren't you glad for the young people that just say, I want to be wise? They decide. They make a decision in their heart. You know what? I'm going to set up in Sunday school, and I'm going to get as close to the front as I can, and I'm going to hone in on the teacher, and I'm going to listen. If everybody else is misbehaving, they can misbehave, but you know what? I'm going to set up, and I'm going to get it. As a teenager, you know what? I'm going to start bringing a notebook, and I'm going to start taking notes in church, because writing things down will help me remember, and later on I can go back to them, and I'm going to, listen, if the Lord speaks to my heart, I'm going to be the first one on the altar, and you know what? I'm just buying in to the fact that God has left us his word, and it's perfect, and everything in it, if I'll obey it, will give me a better life. And so I'm going to do that. I'm just going to be wise. Now, that brings us to step number two. Step number one, proper evaluation. Now, parents, let's stop a minute. You know, as you're thinking through your children, you have to say, well, are they simple? By the way, could we do a better job? I'm not saying that they don't come to church, because obviously they do. But if your children are only getting the Word of God when they come here three times a week, then they probably are simple in a way that they don't need to be. And so, moms, dads, you need to come up with a plan. You need to have a plan. I had one of our men just talk to me the other day about the struggle he's having with just being consistent with family devotions. And I love the fact that he came to his preacher and he said, preacher, seems like we do all right. And then things change. And you know what I told him? Welcome to the club, brother. I mean, it's not easy to be consistent. And I gave him some things that I thought would help him. And some of it was his schedule and some of it was other things. And we talked about maybe ways, and he's going to back up and charge into it again. And thank God for that, because you know what? He wants his children to have memories of sitting down with mom and dad with an open Bible and praying together and reading the Bible together. And folks, listen to me. Don't rob your children of those opportunities. And so we have to take a look at that, okay? Now, step number two is pointed prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, here's what the Bible says. Let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally. It abradeth not, it shall be given him. Well, parents, listen to me. I think for a while you're going to have to not only ask for you, you're going to have to ask for your children so they can get to the point where they're seeking it themselves. Proper evaluation should always be followed by pointed prayer. Most daunting task you'll face as a parent is to instill godly wisdom into your children. I want to say it again. The most daunting task you'll face as a parent is to instill godly wisdom into your children. But God promises to give wisdom in answer to our prayers. And so we need to be praying for wisdom for ourselves, but also, oh God, please pray for wisdom for my children. And then step number three, and we'll stop at step number three. Step number three, we then see parental modeling. And again, this is where we have to stop. We have to say, you know what? It's easy, again, to sit down and evaluate my children, but you know what? Am I here? Am I here? Or am I here as an adult? I mean, I want my kids to just listen and be taught and told and obey with a cheerful spirit. But when I see something in the Word of God, am I reacting like this or am I reacting like this? Which one am I reacting like? And am I being wise or am I being foolish in some areas of my life? I mean, come on, watch this. Are the simple and plain and indisputable precepts of the Bible being preached from the pulpit and the children sitting beside me know in their hearts that mom and dad are living in direct disobedience to that? Well, if that's going on, then why in the world do you think that they would think that they have to have that spirit? So we really have to kind of, again, go to the mirror. Folks, this is good. It's good for us. Let's take a deep breath. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody here is getting it all right. None of us have wakened into the likeness of Christ. I woke up this morning, ran to the mirror and checked. Nope. Still not perfectly like Jesus. We're all a mess on some days, and we always don't get it right. But you know, I think that your children, if they see you trying, if they see you responding, if they see you come home and say, you know what we learned Sunday, young people, that we haven't been very good at, we're going to try to be better at. I'm talking about being mom. We're going to try to be better at. We're going to try to do this. And they see you having a good spirit. They see you have a tender heart. They see you responding to the Word of God as it's working in your life. And, you know, I want to put Jerry Ross on trial before I put my kids on trial. I mean, what I got to do is say, you know, am I simple in the fact that I avoid the Bible, or am I studying the Bible, seeking the Bible, looking for wisdom in the Word of God? And then how am I responding to that? How do you say, preacher, I feel like I need to work on me before I can work on them. So how do I become wiser so that I can lead the way? Well, wisdom comes, folks, three different ways: through personal study of the Word of God, your time that you spend in the Bible, not only reading it. Many of you have read through the Bible in a year's time. Maybe you've done that several times. I want to encourage you to graduate to studying the Bible. Start doing topical studies in the Bible. Start, if you see something you're not sure about, you see a word that you're curious about, you see a subject, and begin to kind of in your time, add 10 or 15 minutes to your devotion time. Just start doing a Bible study on different things. I talk about how I did a Bible study very, very early on before I was married. I did a Bible study on the two words, blessed and cursed. You know, I realized one day I'd like to live a blessed life. And you know what? So you know what I thought? Well, I don't think God's really hit it. I mean, it's in there. So I just went from Genesis to Revelation. I wasn't doing this to preach a message. I wasn't doing this to write a book. I wasn't doing this to prepare Bible studies. I was doing this because I wanted to make sure that I was doing the things that would cause the blessing of God to come upon me. And so I did that. Then I took a Bible study and did it on the word cursed. And you know what? I'm look right up here. I'm going to tell you something. I found two different things that I was doing against the Word of God that I know was causing God to put a curse in that area of my life, in that area of my life. And you know what? Because I studied it, not because I listened to God, I went, whoa. You know, so what do? I'll tell you what you do. You stop studying, you get on your knees. You say, Lord, you know, I've got, according to the Bible, in that area of my life, I'm bringing a... I'm making you put a curse upon me, because you said God's going to keep his word. So if he said, if you do this, then I'm going to have to curse you, and you do it, guess what? He's not going to say, well, bless their hearts, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And two different things. Say, what were they? None of your business. Do your own study, all right? That's the great thing about personal study of the Bible, is you have those sweet times where it's just you and God. And, you know, there were some things that I wasn't doing that if I started doing, it would increase God's blessing. There were some two different things that I was doing. And you know what I did? Watch this. I stopped doing them. Listen, the Christian life's not as hard as we think it is, you know. And just study the Bible. Just be wise. And so your personal study, watch this. Not only your personal study, but public preaching. And God has chosen to use the foolishness of preaching. By the way, that's foolishness to the lost world, not to the born-again believer. to educate Christians concerning the scriptures. Why do we come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Hopefully so we can gain wisdom. And you know, you can learn so much by faithfully sitting under your pastor. A pastor who loves you, studies hard, wants you to help you to grow spiritually, praying for you, rooting for you, want what's God's blessing on you. You know what? He's not your enemy, he's your friend. And some of those times when you want to leave mad, don't leave mad. Okay, I said this one time, and I did. I came in here frustrated, and I used 100-foot tape, and I measured the farthest place you could sit in this church and the distance it is to the altar. Then I measured the same place out to the parking lot, the closest parking spot. You know, it's a shorter walk to the altar than it is to leave the church and go out to your car mad because you didn't go to the altar. So take the shorter walk, okay? You go out there and you're mad at me. Come on, let's be honest. You're not mad at me. No, come on. You're not mad at me. Do you get offended? Good night. I told a guy the other day, I said, good, now that I've been in ministry 35 years, you can't hurt my feelings. I don't have any feelings left. I mean, and by the way, if I get my feelings hurt at this stage of my Christian life, then I'm pretty weak. Shame on me. You know, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall, come on. All right, somebody gets mad, they blow up. You know, doesn't make them a bad person. Doesn't even make them wrong and me right. But, you know, if you're going to get mad because something the preacher's preaching, and it's right there in the Bible, good night. Come on, you know, trying to help you. So here we go. Personal study, public preaching. And then let me give you the last one. We're done. Private counsel. And this is something that we don't use enough. I think the wise parent goes beyond personal study and public preaching. And you know what? If you have specific areas of your life that you're really struggling with, then seek out private counsel. If you have questions concerning the Bible, you can set up an appointment with your pastor, allow him to answer the questions. Help you to grow in your knowledge of the scriptures. It's not just a pastor that can be a good counselor in your life. When it comes to parenting, man alive, why do you think this thing is generational? You know, let me say something that I told my wife one time. I said, do you ever figure out that about the time all the kids are raised, it seems like we figured out how to raise kids? It's not like you get practice kids, okay? Lord, can you give me a couple practice kids? So I can make all the wrong decisions, mess up, do it wrong, get there. We should have done this and we should have done that. Okay, Lord, now give me the real ones. It doesn't work that way. But wait a minute. You think about it. Well, why didn't God do it? He did do it that way. They're called grandparents. They're called older people that have done it. And so, you know what? It doesn't mean that they did everything perfectly in raising their children, but they learned a lot in the process. And you know what? What you can do is you can just seek out people in the church. You can sit down with them. Come on, ladies, go seek out another older lady that's raised her kid and done a pretty good job of it and just say, hey, can I take out the lunch? And, you know, because, you know, I'm going to end up in jail by the end of the week because I'm going to murder these kids. I don't know what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, but nothing seems to be working. And you know what she might say at the end of listening to you? You know what? Hang in there. You're doing everything right. Just, you know what? You just got to be consistent. You just got to hang in. Or she might be able to say, let me give you a couple things that might help. And do you understand, folks, we're rooting for you, parents. I want you to feel that way. We're rooting for you. Come on, older folks. Don't let these young families come in here and get the feeling that we're all sitting in judgment on them. Because we were once there. You might think back. We were once there, too. And you know what? I think we have sincere parents. I think we have the real deal here. I think they're doing the best they know how. But you know what? That doesn't mean sometimes you don't need to sit down with somebody. Make a phone call. You know, hey, talk to me about this. I'm facing this with one of the kids. And is there another approach I should be taking? Or what am I not seeing? What's going on? And you just reach out. But listen, I will tell you this. Just consistently doing the right things is going to win out in the long run. And even sometimes short term when it seems like it's not working with one of your children, don't get discouraged. Pray. There's nothing more powerful than prayer. And then again, let's cover what we looked at tonight. Look in the mirror and just make sure that there's not some things that you need to fix in that area that could be causing them to be watching you and doing what you're doing instead of what you're saying. And then, you know what? If you need some help, begin to build those things in your own life. Man, get into the Word of God yourself. Get to the preaching, make some calls, sit down with some people, get some help. Hey, you know what? Hang in there. Hang in there. Because if you're sincere and you're willing to follow the scriptures, you know what? Even in this crazy society that we live in, you can still raise good, solid kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, Lord, your patience with us. And once we have children, Lord, it sure helps us to maybe understand you a little bit more. And sometimes we get frustrated with our kids, and then I can't help but think how many times I thought, Lord, I frustrated you in that same area at different times in my life. So, Lord, may we be, Lord, helped by the principles and precepts as we are climbing the ladder and as we are seeking to instill into the hearts of our children godly wisdom. Help us to do what we can. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us, Lord, understanding. We pray these things in Jesus' name.